Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Fan is on your smart speaker. To listen to the home of New York sports, just say, play WFAN.
Until 2, that is Gardner Roberts. Teague and Thierry rolling with you until then. 877-337-6666. We will get back to those calls. More tweets as well. By the way, somebody just sent. Now, we got to bleep out the old station. Somebody just sent the old Mac and Thierry theme song.
Nice.
It is an old school rap. It's not bad, Huff. I have not heard that in a long time. It's pretty good, right?
Listen, I was grooving to it.
It's pretty good. Maybe we'll mess around with that a little later. Right now, we mess around with the Yankees because they are the Yankees. And this guy's been entrenched with the stadium, with the station, probably forever. I mean, Sweetie Murdy is the man. He's a good dude. Knows his Yankees. Beat reporter for the Yankees here on The Fan. He's got a good piece as well. He wrote it. It's up on odyssey.com/sports about the Hall of Fame. So we got a lot of different things to hit. Murdy, what's happening, buddy? How are you?
Hello, fellas. How you doing? I love it. Even when I get my hair cut really, really short, you guys make me look good.
Yeah, I hear you. I don't give yourself that much credit.
Ours are not by choice, obviously. Sweeney, what is your article about? I'm getting ready to pull it up and talk about it, but because we'll talk about this obviously with the Hall of Fame around the corner. What are you talking about in the article?
Well, there's a lot of different things in it, simply because this is. Arguably and probably correctly, the most talked about Hall of Fame ballot ever, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're in the last year of the Bonds and Clemens, and because you have A-Rod and Ortiz, and all the PED stuff is really coming to a head, plus Curt Schilling and everything that's going on there. So there's a lot happening, and with no game, this is kind of all we're talking about right now.
Yep.
So with all the questions about it, I don't have a vote, so I'm not able to sit here and tell you, here's my ballot and here are my reasons, but I'm an interested party. I work around the game of baseball, and I'm a baseball fan, and I love the Hall of Fame as a museum, as a building, and as a town and all that. So I'm an interested party. I had a lot of thoughts on things that just my own feelings and things that I've talked to other people about in regard, and you're really just kind of breaking down like how what we're really talking about when we're talking about how hard it is to get 75%
to people
to agree that this person is a Hall of Famer. I mean, Bonds and Clemens have been over 60% for 3 years. That's good enough to win any election in this country. It's good enough to win almost anything else that you're trying to debate, but it's not good enough to win a Hall of Fame. And there are subtleties and differences in every individual PED issue between Bonds, Clemens, Ortiz, A-Rod, Manny, all those things that you have to just sit and I want to just sit and kind of explain it from where I sit.
Yep.
Because I think we try to lump everything in together and say it's this or it's that. Well, it's just complex. There's a lot of layers to it, and I just wanted to address it.
Well, I'm looking at the tracker now. Ortiz, a little bit below 84%. Barry Bonds is tracking 77.2%. Clemens, 76%. About 160-plus ballots are in. There's 300-plus, a little more than 350, so a little less than halfway home in terms of the known ballots. So this thing can change, and the expectation is that Bonds nor Clemens will get in, but there's this new thing, and I mentioned this to John Heyman yesterday, the new era committee, which encompasses, I want to say, 1988 through 2016, which obviously would open up the window of discussion for Bonds and Clemens, but also Mattingly and Keith Hernandez and some other names that may be, if you believe that they should be in. So even if Bonds and Clemens don't get in on their 10th and final year on the ballot here, they could get in next year. Really? If you think about it.
It wouldn't be next year. I don't think, I mean, I think there's a process here to, first of all, the ballot you're talking about, it happens every 3 years and they rotate the eras of players that the veterans committee, so to speak, votes on. So they don't get a chance every year. And I don't know that they would be put on right away because, you know, they've had 10 years here to be on the ballot. And I think you let this breathe a little bit and get into it's one of the reasons that you wait on players instead of just waiting for a player to retire and say, OK, is he a Hall of Fame or not? You need perspective. You need the guy to be out of the spotlight for a little bit and then say, OK, what do these numbers really mean? Because his era isn't over yet. Mm. And, you know, I don't think that they will probably get through whatever weeding out process it takes to get to that next ballot.
Yeah.
But I don't believe it's going to be, okay, we're just going to vote. We'll have a different vote group of people vote on them next year and then get them in. I don't think it's that simple.
Okay. So we're talking to Sweeney Murdy, and Sween is the beat reporter, longtime beat reporter for the Yankees here with WFAN, writes for Odyssey as well. So you make sure you check that out.
Yep.
We'll tweet it out from our show account as well. Get you a little pop on there with the article there, Sween.
Easiest to find it, odyssey.com/WFAN.
Perfect.
That's how you find it. It's easier that way.
I love it. All right. So the 2022 Yankees right now, hopefully incomplete, hopefully a project that is still being built. You know, we know all the names. It probably complicated a bit with Correa now aligning himself with Scott Boras. That's probably an extra $30 or $50 million minimally. But we've heard Olson from the A's. We've heard Chapman maybe is an experimental shortstop 1 year, you know, whatever. Trevor Story's out there. You know, what is the realistic plan? How much money do you think they're willing to spend, and who are the main targets? What are we going to do here?
Well, every one of those is pretty realistic. I don't think the Chapman as a full-time shortstop is something that was a realistic, this is our plan A or B type of thing. I think what it does show you is that how much value Matt Chapman has and how versatile a player he is, how athletic a player he is. I don't think the plan is, hey, let's just put him in shortstop. I think the Yankees have found out the last couple of years that they need not just to put somebody at shortstop. They need a player who is a shortstop. There's a difference. Gleyber Torres wasn't that player. Sure. So to sit there and say, move this guy. I mean, they are still in the market for a shortstop, a real shortstop. And where that goes, you know, the reason they're sitting here and some other players come off the board is because you don't know what the rules are for 22 or really for 22 through 27, right? What are the next 5 years hold in the CBA? And until you know what rules you're playing by, none of the big teams have really spent. The Yankees and the Red Sox haven't really done much. The Dodgers spent a little bit only because they re-signed Chris Taylor. Otherwise, they haven't really spent a whole lot of money.
The Mets
have. These teams are waiting to see what their ground rules are before they make big expenditures.
The Mets have. Mets spent.
The Mets did. The Mets did because they were under it before, and the Mets ended up, they're in a completely new situation. Here's the thing with the Mets, okay? And obviously Steve Cohen is new into this game, and he's making his mark. But how much farther is he going to go when his team starts getting hit with luxury tax thresholds, and he starts giving up money in the draft, money in the international draft, and is losing the ability to stock a farm system? When a couple of years from now you say, okay, oh, well, we can't trade for that player because they don't like our farm system. It's because we didn't get enough draft picks back. We lost international money, and we're not getting those players. Plus, on top of that, how much farther is he going to go? Manny Machado can opt out of his contract in 2 years. Is he going to give another $150, $200 million to Manny Machado? How many of these big contracts? Steve Cohen's brand new into this, and he's made a big splash probably because he had to, but everybody else who's used to spending big money hasn't really done it yet.
Hmm. Interesting. You know, you mentioned the Stevie Cohen Mets, and this is actually, I have to give credit to Hoff on this one, our producer, because he brought this to, I mean, we kind of thought about this, but he brought it in more detail into our attention. So Aaron Judge is in an interesting spot with the Yankees, as obviously as we all know. It's kind of like we're just waiting for him to get that big contract. It's been that way for the last couple of years. But it's not likely to happen this offseason. Why? Because we're going to go until April, hopefully April, maybe even May, before they get into camp. And he's not going to be able to sign a deal before the start of the regular season. He won't work on a deal during the season because he knows he's leaving money on the table with free agency right around the corner. And so it just creates this opportunity for him as a free agent. And if he becomes a free agent, anybody's coming with cash. in particular, Stevie Cohen.
Stop.
Right?
Stop.
I mean, this is, it's not something that's real. I'm not saying that people are talking about this, but it's potential. And if I'm Steve Cohen.
I thought about it. Yeah, I thought about it. Right? What
are they doing with Aaron Judge?
That would be torture.
It absolutely would be torture. But if you're Steve Cohen.
What you're talking about is exactly what I mean about the Mets and Steve. Like, how much farther? Like, he spent a lot of money, okay? But they've got Francisco Lindor. They signed Max Scherzer to all this. They've got, you know, they're going to have to sign Pete Alonso.
Yeah,
they've
Brom.
Got Jacob Brom. They've got all these guys. They've got a lot of money tied up in a lot of these players. Are they still going to keep going after more, or is there going to come a day where they say, you know what, maybe we should sign this other guy for 2 years and $8 million to fill out the fifth starter spot, or maybe we need to go sign this guy in a one-year deal, minor league deal, and hope he can compete for our outfield. There's going to be a day when that happens.
No, Steve, let me just challenge you on that. I disagree. This is a different brand of spend. This is Stevie Cohen, who's got $8 billion next to his name, who wants to usurp the Yankees, and he's a Mets fan. I put no limits on what this man's willing to spend. None.
Okay, but what Tiki is talking about is exactly what I thought about. Where is the limit then?
Yeah.
You're going to go after Aaron Judge? You're going to go after Manny Machado? Or are you going to go after every other, Max Fried is going to be a free agent, I think, in another 2 years. You know, how many of these guys are you willing to add at $30 million a pop and incur the penalties? Because then what's going to happen? You're going to have injuries. Okay, how are we going to fix this guy? Well, let's go trade for this guy. Can't trade for this guy. We don't have the prospects to trade for him.
Yeah.
So why? Because we lost all the international money and draft picks when we signed all these free agents. And now we got no young players anybody wants.
Yeah, but
it's going to come back to bite you at some point.
True, but it would be exciting as hell for Mets fans.
And
what a way to start
us,
a tenure.
Right? This is great for us.
Yep.
Absent Stevie Cohen stealing Aaron Judge from us, but what do you think is going to happen with Aaron Judge and the Yankees? Like, what kind of deal is he going to get, and when will it happen?
Not till after this season. I think part of the things you're right is that I think what's happened now has really hurt him because when the lockout ends, you're going to be in this big frenzy to try to get a lot. You know, they need a shortstop for this year, first baseman, maybe a center fielder, catcher, another pitcher, all these things for this year. Aaron Judge signing a contract extension is not a priority. And if you have two or three weeks to get deals done before you start a spring training camp, well then, that's not going to happen. As you talked about, having a deal like that happen during the season isn't realistic.
Nope.
So you wait till the end of the season. And in my mind, that's not a bad thing for the Yankees. What was the one thing you really wanted to see
health
last year? You wanted to see him play. You wanted to see him stay on the field.
Yeah, I hear you. But just to hear you say Aaron Judge is not a priority, it just makes you like go, oh, really?
He's face of the franchise, right? But he can't be priority number one when you've got all these holes to fill and he's under contract. And frankly, I would wait for him to put up another healthy year. It's not like I'm going to get a discount by trying to sign Aaron Judge, nor do I need one if I'm the New York Yankees. Let's just wait till you get through the season, because if you really want him, you're going to have the chance to get him.
So that is Sweeney Murdy, of course, Yankee beat reporter with us here on Tiki and Tierney on the Fan. Speaking of holes, listen, I'm just done with Gary Sanchez. I can't watch this guy try to play baseball anymore. Mm-hmm. Loafing after balls, jogging down the line, not always in great shape, automatically digs in the box, it's 0-2, always swinging to the fences. I understand that he stumbles upon some bombs just based on bat speed and strength, but he is devolved as a hitter. He has regressed. His strike zone knowledge is horrendous. He's probably a little bit of a better defensive catcher than he's positioned to be, but his IQ is incredibly low. What is the fascination? And I'll use that word because as long as he's on the team, they're still fascinated with him. What is the fascination internally with this guy? Why is he still the Yankee?
Well, I think you had a couple of years there where he was still under a reasonable cost control when you compare it to what's out there and what you could possibly get. And the idea, his offense is a factor because, you're talking about playing in a ballpark where you want it guys to hit the ball out to right center and left center. And Gary Sanchez can provide that for you better than any other player who's catching around the big leagues right now. Right. There aren't very many of these guys that can go out there and catch that many games and put up that kind of offense. A couple of guys, Real Muto, probably, sure. But what was always what you're always trying to do is you're trying to build on his potential while he was still in cost control. Now he's making about $8 million in arbitration this year. That's not cost control anymore. This is his last year. They brought him back for one more year because there weren't enough attractive options out there to just get rid of him. There's not a lot of major league ready catching depth in the Yankees organization to try to fill that hole. You probably need to sign, two guys and think about, very few players anymore are catching 100 plus games. So you're probably going to need to split that duty a little bit and kind of mix and match as opposed to one guy. All that, you're getting a guy on a one-year contract who is going to be playing for his future. Doesn't have to be with the Yankees. He's playing for his future. So what kind of shape is he going to come in? What kind of numbers is he going to put up? Those are all good. What his selfish needs are going to help you as a team in 2022 because he's playing for his next contract.
Yeah. Now, here's the interesting thing about this Yankees squad, Sweeney. I think you probably feel this as well. You know that the Yankees are trying to build through their farm system, right? They want it to do it somewhat organically. But at the same time, they're a team that feels ready to win. Is a reconciliation that needs to happen. And part of that is with their staff. And Gerrit Cole signing last year was a big deal.
Severino healthy
Severino,
helps big
exactly.
time.
Exactly. Jermaine,
that's a
et cetera.
Huge factor.
Like, there's so many other issues that, with the rotation that you have to address. And I'm just looking at the available arms, right? A lot of them are old. Like
Montgomery's decent.
Yeah, exactly. Danny Dunn. Like, just guys that are out there that just don't excite you. Where are they going for the rotation?
I like Montgomery a lot, actually, and Severino back healthy is a really big key, as you mentioned, BT. Mm-hmm. Pitching is not their big problem. Do they need to add a starter? Sure, maybe, but I don't think it's their big issue. Even bullpen, with Britton's injury, they've still got some arms out there that are exciting and did well last year. Jonathan Loaisiga and Clay Holmes and, another year, Chad Green. I feel like there are, Lucas Litke was valuable just because of how many times he was available to you.
Mm-hmm.
Pitching wasn't their problem. Yeah. They couldn't score last year. They couldn't score. So that's what their big fix is. And that's why shortstop and center field and even catcher has to have some sort of offensive component to it. And you're putting this puzzle together. As far as trying to build through, listen, the window on the baby bombers closed. It didn't end successfully because it didn't end with a World Series championship. Remember, Aaron Judge is a year away from free agency. Gleyber Torres is in arbitration. Gary Sanchez is a year away from free agency. That baby bombers era is over.
Yeah.
And for various reasons, it didn't pull, they ran into Houston. They had a pandemic. A lot of these things just got in their way. And, excuses or whatever, there were reasons and they didn't finish. They have one more chance with a group here before they have to make the long-term commitments and start thinking about it. But building from within is about getting cost control and production from, and value out of that production. You're always going to be able to supplement. But again, the luxury tax threshold is a factor for the Yankees and the Red Sox more than other teams for one very big reason. The money that you pay over isn't something they can't afford. They can afford it, but it doesn't go to charity. Part of that goes to the Tampa Bay Rays, who are already really good, really good at spending money efficiently. And if you give them an extra couple of million, they're going to go out and get another pitcher who can beat you. They're going to go out and trade for Nelson Cruz, who can beat you. You are subsidizing your
great
competition
point.
When you go over that threshold.
Yeah.
That's why it's more important for the Yankees and the Red Sox than it is for a lot of other teams.
Yeah,
great point.
Sweeney, doesn't that then mean that when the Sanchez's and the Judges come free and the Yankees have to make a decision, they're more likely to say, let's start over?
Not with Judge. Sanchez is gone.
Right. I think they've made the decision on Sanchez. Basically, it's like, there's not enough out there to replace him right now. So roll the dice again for one more year. But, your option after this is signing Gary Sanchez to a multi-year deal. You going to do that?
Mm-mm.
No, you're not.
No chance.
You know that's not happening. Okay. But again, as I said, bring him back, one-year deal, offense, pair him with another catcher. You'll get some value out of that. Judge is a different story, and I think you have to see him healthy for another full year to determine, how far do I have to go here? Do I have to go 7 years, 6 years, 5 years? It's going to be a lot of money, and his value to the team and to the franchise and the fan base and all that. But now you have a decision to make, and you're making these. Remember, let's just remember another comparison to when I say this baby bombers era is over. every great Yankee you can think of, okay, besides Mattingly, who played in an era where he didn't get to compete for a championship, Thurman Munson, who had to wait a little bit later into his career, every great Yankee you can think of won World Series titles, multiples, early in their career, within their first 3-4 years. You know, Mantle, DiMaggio, Jeter, all these guys, they won multiple titles early in their career. And because they did, especially like in the case of Jeter and, you know, Bernie Williams, they were all under cost control at then. Yeah. When you started to sign them big free agent contracts, that's when things got a little bit hairy. And that's why you've kind of, you know, failure is a weird word in sports. I don't like using it a lot, but they've failed in getting this group to maximize its potential while they're still under cost control.
Well, I think that they failed because they're poorly constructed. I think if, like, if you could, and it's two different conversations, and I know you obviously know this. By the way, it's Sweeney Murdy. We're talking Yankees, Sweeney, the great beat reporter for the Yankees here on The Fan. Like, you can construct a great team, and either you get unlucky or you get hurt, but you're really built to win. Like, there is sound structural building of the team. The Yankees are flawed. They don't catch the ball. They don't run. They're too right-handed dominant. I mean, they're just not good enough.
I think that was more true this past year. I really do believe that the 18 and 19 teams were better built. Their flaws came out, but I think they were better built back then. And I think their win totals showed you that, and the way they competed against the rest of the league showed you that. But I, you know, obviously they didn't win, so it's going to be marked down as a failure. This past year, a lot of things happened. You're right. Defensively is one of the big things where they had so many people out of position. But on top of that, again, they didn't hit the ball. Nobody saw that coming. You didn't see DJ LeMahieu and Gleyber Torres and Gio Urshela all having the kinds of years they had in 2021. That was not supposed to happen. They were supposed to maybe have some pitching issues, and maybe you have some injuries that you have to deal with. The guys that were on the field all the time were supposed to hit, and they didn't. Couldn't fix that.
And by the way, we have to go. I heard, you know, kind of behind the scenes, DJ LeMahieu was a lot more banged up than he ever let on. Can you confirm that?
Well,
DJ
was a little banged up. He had surgery in the offseason.
No, but I mean, like, but it lingered. He had it for months.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what we're trying to piece together. And, heard the same kinds of things.
Okay.
But the idea is, you know, this is the tricky part about, and Tiki can probably really appreciate this. This is the thing we kind of, it's hard to value this when we talk about players playing hurt. We don't want players to play hurt. Mm-hmm. We want them to play great while they're hurt. And that's hard to do. Yeah. You can play hurt, but if you play a diminished value of yourself, which DJ LeMahieu obviously was, is he helping you? Is he worth it? You don't want players to play hurt. You want them to be just as great, even better, every year while they're hurt.
Just a little taste, a little taste of what's coming with Sweeney Murdy regularly here on The Fan. Yankee beat man, Sweeney, great spot. Appreciate you jumping on. Thank you very much, man.
Appreciate you, Sweeney.
Appreciate it.
Check out his article, audacy.com. That's audacy.com/WFAN.
I want to circle back. I know that Hoff had the thought, but Teague, you actually mentioned it to me. I think we have to explore this.
Mm-hmm.
This little teeny weeny, teeny infinitesimal, barely visible, hopefully never happening possibility that Aaron Judge swooped up by Uncle Stevie. It's not completely implausible. It's not nuts. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Get some calls, 877-337-6666. Teak and Tierney up until 2. Then it's Carton Roberts right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road, any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.